Wofford posts win number one of the 2023 season, 11-3 at the Citadel. Welcome to Inside Wofford Football with Sean Watson. I'm Jim Noble. You know what they say, the food tastes better, everybody smiles, and to see that locker room celebration and see those guys, Sean, get rewarded for a win, a gutty, ugly slash beautiful win at the Citadel. That had to have been so gratifying from a coaching standpoint.
Yeah, it was. You know, you're always happy with wins. And, you know, we felt like we've been really close against some really good teams. And, you know, it was just, you know, our time to break through. And, you know, we had to do it in adverse conditions now. It was a very sloppy, rainy day, and had to fight through some adversity and, you know, losing Bryce there early. You know, but the kids did a great job, and, you know, we found a way to, you know, to win. Our defense played lights out, and then, you know, we were able to rush the football, which was really important in that type of weather.
Well, we will take you through everything that happened down in Charleston on Saturday. We'll also look ahead to the big rivalry game that finishes off the season against the Furman Paladins, and talk about the Terrier seniors and all the ups and downs they've been through as many of them get ready to play their final game here at Gibbs Stadium. It is all coming up next here on Inside Wofford Football, brought to you by Budweiser of Spartanburg and Yokohama.
Count on the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Just like you can always count on Always Game Gary. Yay! No bar is too far. No wing sauce is too hot. Not for Gary. Gary is the man. He's nothing like Keith. Keith never wants to do anything. Why are we even talking about Keith? Always Game Gary is famous among friends. He deserves a Bud Light. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB St. Louis, Missouri.
Welcome back. So I knew as I woke up on Saturday morning and looked out my window at the team hotel, the conditions were going to dictate a few things, especially on offense. Coach, it was rainy. It was nasty. It was, you know, mid-50s and stuff. How much did that affect it? Did you know right away during warm-ups that there was going to be a limit to what you could do throwing the football?
No, we didn't really know it until we got into the, you know, probably midway through second series, it began to rain harder. And by the time we got into the first half, second quarter especially, it was raining sideways. Mm-hmm. And it came down pretty hard. So that really did impact and affect the game, and it was going to become a run-dominated game.
It was hard holding on to the football, and the Wofford defense made sure the Citadel knew that. Two takeaways on the Citadel's first two offensive possessions.
Second down and about eight. Elmore stays in there, gets the handoff, gets good yardage and a good push, and the whole pile moves, and I think he got the first down.
Fumble.
Ball came out, and I think Wofford's got it.
And they're still fighting over it. The Terriers have got it.
The official is saying, and coming out of the pile, I think, is John Michael DiRoberto, and the whole Terrier defense is running down towards the end zone, and Wofford gets the first break of this game, Van. Citadel on their second possession. Man in motion, the tight end goes. They fake the handoff, and then a stop starter and a cutback.
Ball's out.
The ball's out again. Did the Terriers get this one?
Yes.
Another fumble recovery for Wofford at midfield. Chuck Smith was at the bottom of the pile. Harrison Morgan may have made the hit. DiRoberto forced it, put his helmet right on the football, and coming away with it, Maximus Pulley, and Wofford is plus two already in the turnover battle.
Let me tell you, John Michael DiRoberto was a man on a mission. One of those fumbles he recovered and forced. The other one he forced, Maximus Pulley fell on. Was that a point of emphasis, trying to rip the ball away?
Yeah, they had turned the ball over a few times, especially with the ball handling piece, the fumbles. And, the guys always work hard on defense. But with those weather conditions and that style of offense, you know, the opportunities were going to be there. So, you know, they did a great job of, you know, our takeaway circuit we actually do on Tuesday and Wednesday. And, you know, it gets coached and, you know, D-Row did a great job. You know, he was hacking the ball and stripping the ball out, and then the pursuit helped us recover him.
The only problem was when Wofford got the ball after that first turnover, Wofford goes on offense, and you lose Bryce Corriston four plays in. Paulie Seeley comes back out there and reassumes the offense. So what did that do to anything that you were going to try to do offensively?
Well, I think we probably ended up in the same style of play just because of the weather. I mean, it was, you know, it was raining sideways. And, you know, there was, I think we took 16 balls into the game, and an official came up to me, it was in the beginning of the third quarter, and said, we're out of balls. You know, so, and it was hard to keep the balls dry for both teams. And he stated to both head coaches what was going on. So, long story short, we're going to end up in that type of game, we, you know, because of the weather. And, you know, the offensive line and the backs really came through for us.
Yeah, on that second drive, you really started saw the offensive line start to get a push. Terriers drive it down on a short field after the turnover. And then, look, lo and behold, Kyle Parsons surfaces and gets into the end zone for his first touch of the year. He's been, I know, so frustrated with the injuries. SoCon all-freshman a year ago and not really being able to get into the rhythm of the season. So good to see him back, and so good to see him get into the end zone.
Yeah, it's good. He's, you know, Kyle's one of my favorite players. He's always given us maximum effort in everything he does, whether it's school, being a good person, and being a good football player. So it's nice, A, having him back and, you know, getting some reward for his, you know, for his season, because he's had a trying year. He's had to come back through some injuries.
Tack on another two-point conversion, and it's 8-0. And then the rest of the way in the first half, man, it was your defense not letting them do very much. They do get a field goal. It's 8-3 at the half. But by and large, the defense is playing great. The offense, you know, I thought the important thing offensively, Coach, was didn't have many three and outs. They'd always managed to get a first down or two and get the, you know, get field position. And then once they did that, your special teams were pinning the Citadel back. Your defense was playing great. It was an ugly score, 8-3 at halftime, but it looked good from a Wofford standpoint.
Yeah, we knew it was, you know, the weather was making it a field position game. And, you know, we needed to, you know, keep them on a long field. And, you know, later on in the game, third, you know, there in the fourth quarter, Atkins hits a great punt. The one time we were backed up and then, you know, really changed the field for us to allow us to, you know, get the final stop.
Yeah, we will go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, we'll look at the second half and how it all came down to the wire in Charleston. All that coming up next here on Inside Wofford Football.
Black and gold. Bold. A victory story about to be told. Grit, toughness, and tenacity. A hub of hard work in Hub City. We're on these wins like dogs on a bone. In the zone, our place, in your face, won't leave you alone. Strength, speed, fire, truth. I'm sorry, do these things trouble you? We're Wofford College. We fly the W. Ingalls, proud partner of the Wofford Terriers.
And welcome back to Inside Wofford Football with head coach Sean Watson. I'm Jim Noble. All right, 8-3 beginning the third quarter. I want to go back to a really bizarre play. Ryan Ingram, the offensive line, is moving the ball, but it's a wet football. And early in the third quarter, the ball squirts out of Ingram's arms, pops up in the air like a basketball jump ball. And who's there to snag it? Bryson Dickerson, our big tight end. We've talked a lot about the tight end room and how you have five very talented guys in that room. But that kind of play just made you think that it was Wofford's afternoon.
Yeah, we were lucky, you know, to be honest with you. I mean, but that's when you're hustling to the ball and you're hustling after your work, which is what Bryce was doing, and that's what he's supposed to be doing. You're going to be in position to make those kind of plays. So great hustle, great effort on his part, because he's trying to get a second effort block on an additional player. So it worked out good for us.
Yeah, he was trying to get to that second level, and lo and behold, he was right with the football. So that was pretty cool to see. It was kind of a ball control third quarter. You are moving them off the ball. Your offensive line is clicking. Ryan Ingram is doing his thing. He wound up with his second straight 100-yard rushing game. But it was a field position battle. I think that was probably the worst rain probably in the third quarter. So it's 11-3. We do tack on a field goal. But in that drive where we ended up with three, I know we had a first or goal at the one. Mm-hmm. And, oh, it's just a bad time for a false start penalty. And then Paulie's running for his life and gets an intentional grounding penalty. When it's
third and goal from the 20, there's a limit to what you want to do offensively because you got to take care of the football too, I imagine.
We do. There's a new rule in football, you know, the simulated snap counts. And I had some words with our officiating crew and just to make sure I was in task because they had called that penalty earlier. And then we had a flinch penalty in a critical situation, which we can't have. We got to lock in on my man, Paulie's voice. And then, we had a bad snap that then ended up being Paulie had to get rid of the ball, and it's too slippery. He couldn't get past the down marker. So we impeded our progress, and those are things that we have got to get, homed up. We can't do that stuff. So we took the points because we had to.
Mm-hmm. 11-3, fourth quarter, still a one-score game technically if they get a two-point conversion. And then lo and behold, they're on offense and it stops raining. Yep. And now they're able to throw the ball. They hit, I think, four straight passes mm-hmm. to their tight end, and they're moving up and down the field. What was your level of concern there when an offense that's not designed to be a quick strike come from behind offense really at the Citadel? They started making some good things happen.
They started moving the ball. Like you said, the big thing is the rain stopped. And, it was, the kids on defense never flinched, though. And then coaches, we had a couple timeouts during those drives, and they were awesome. They were going to get the stop, and they put the brakes on them. And that was, it was a great effort by them, good focus by them.
Yeah, two times in the final couple of minutes, you get two more takeaways. You wind up with four for the game. Harrison Morgan ends one of their drives with a fumble recovery. And then the final one, I know we took a penalty when they were out of timeouts and we kind of prolonged a little bit. It was down to the wire. They're down near the red zone. And our man Dero steps up again. Just the resiliency of the defense and the way they were able to salt that one away. It had to be so gratifying from a coaching standpoint.
Yeah, you've got to pack your defense when you go on the road, and those kind of additions, your defense has to play big for you, and they did. They came up with big stops at critical times.
Mm-hmm. So many heroes on the afternoon, but probably the big man on the stat sheet defensively, senior safety John Michael DiRoberto, two forced fumbles, one recovered fumble, and the game-clinching interception. We caught up with Dero after the game.
Okay, John, real quick, just talk about the emotion going into the game and then the emotion now at the end of the game.
Well, we know going into this game, first off, it's a huge rivalry game. It's been going on for years. Something that's meant a lot to the guys that came before us. So just personally, I took this game personally. And I know all my teammates did, and after the game as well, emotions are just high. Coach Watson told us before the game, don't worry about the records. Everybody's 0-0 right now, because when it's a rivalry game, anybody can win. We came out, thankfully, thank God we got the win, and emotions are high, and happy as I could be.
And just talk real quick about, two fumble recoveries for you and an interception.
Yes, sir.
That's a pretty dominant defensive effort on your part.
Yes, sir. I know. Coaches harp on takeaways all the time on our defense. Coach Emini, big shout out to Coach E. He told me they come in bunches because I was all frustrated because I only had one leading up to this game. He told me they come in bunches, and that's exactly what happened. When the light was bright, thank God. Like I said, God is great, God is good, and without him, none of this would be possible.
Yes, indeed. It was a defensive battle. Wofford winds up with 263 total yards on offense, including 217 yards rushing, which in that kind of afternoon was perfect. But defensively, you only give up 234. A win is a win is a win. A road win in conference is a special thing anyway, but this was Wofford's first road win in conference in nearly 4 years. What did you tell the guys after the game?
We were happy, that, just the resiliency and the, having to fight through the conditions and fight through, losing, Bryce, who had played so well for us a week before. I can't say enough about, the kids. They just don't flinch. They just keep playing. And, they've been awesome all year. The coaches have been, great with them, keep pouring into them. And, I was just really happy for coaches and players, that we were able to get that one done.
All right, what do you say we make it two? It won't be easy. One of the best Furman teams in recent years is going to come to Gibbs Stadium this Saturday. We will break down the game with the Paladins and talk about Wofford's seniors coming up next.
Nothing beats the power of Ford Truck Month, because only one truck can be the best-selling in America for 46 straight years. Ford F-Series. Only one has best-in-class payload, best-in-class horsepower. And when you combine this legendary power with the latest technology, you get the only truck built Ford tough. It's Truck Month. Hurry in today for great selection in stock and ready for delivery. Now get 3.9% financing for 60 months plus up to $2,500 cash back on select F-150 trucks.
It doesn't matter if you're active on the road or in the gym. Your body is your strongest tool. Spartanburg Regional Sports Medicine Institute is here to push you to the next level. With partnerships across Spartanburg County Schools, we're here when it happens. We diagnose, treat, and heal at the Sports Medicine Institute to get you back and active, in the gym, in the game, and to the next level. We never quit because you never quit.
Welcome back to Inside Wofford Football, brought to you by Budweiser of Spartanburg and Yokohama. Well, Furman comes in on a roll. They are perfect in the FCS. One of their best teams in recent memory, they are going to go to the FCS playoffs. Is Wofford playing for pride? Are they playing for the rivalry? Or are you guys just playing to be the best football team you can be on Saturday?
Yeah, it's being the best football team we can be on Saturday, and the rivalry weighs into it big time. You know, I've been a part of some great rivalries in college football, and on our level and our scale at Wofford College, and I'm sure it's the same way there, it is the rivalry. You know, so, you know, we're looking forward to the opportunity. Our, you know, guys have, you know, gotten better each week, and you know, I'm excited to, you know, put together the game plan and turn them loose and let them play.
There's always a school of thought that one team is playing with house money. You can pull out all the stops and do whatever you want, and you know, they may be looking forward to the playoffs or sort of thing. Do you buy into that much, or do you approach in terms of a game plan the way you approach every game?
A game plan like we approach every game, because we've always got stuff in there to help us, you know, to get a little juice if we need it on you know, special teams and on offense. But you know, it's they're a well-coached football team. They're well put together, and you know, I know you know, Clay is he's gonna have them ready for, you know, for us, you know, and they'll, it's a rivalry game for them too. So, you know, we've got to go take care of our business, and you know, our kids love this game and love playing in it. So, and I'm looking forward to it.
And of course, there's the aspect of the Wofford seniors, many of whom will be playing their final collegiate football game. I don't know if we'll go back to when you were a senior playing your last college football game, but it's an emotional thing. And I know you'll do some special things for the seniors this week, a team dinner, you know, the last lap after the last practice. This senior class has been through a lot. They believed in the coaching staff that's in place now, and they've stuck around to be Terriers and finish out the career. What's your lasting impression of this senior class?
You know, they've been so resilient. You know, they've been awesome in helping us, you know, begin our, you know, get our start. You know, I can't say enough about the way that they've conducted themselves this, you know, this whole season. They've been spot on every day. They've come to work every day. They don't flinch. They don't, you know, because they really love Wofford College. They love Wofford football, and it's important to them. So they'll play an emotional game for sure.
Well, we expect to see you here on Saturday, noon kickoff at Gibbs Stadium, as the Terriers host the Furman Paladins. Best of luck. Have a great week of practice, and we can't wait to get out there on Saturday, Coach.
All right, man. Look forward to seeing you.
Special thanks to our entire crew, as always. For Sean Watson, I'm Jim Noble. That'll do it for Inside Wofford Football. We will see you once again next week.